Chapter 55. The Ignoble House Barker. You're bloody damn manic, I tell Sèvre when we're alone in Virenie's infirmary. Sèvre's holding his neck, laughing at himself. I kissed the top of his head. Bloody damn insane, you know that? Yeah, well, I stole that one from your playbook. What does that say about you? That he's insane as well, Mickey says from the corner. He's smoking his laced burners, purple smoke slithering from nostrils. Sèvre winces. That slagging hurt. I can't even look sideways. You sprained your neck, damaged the cartilage, lacerations in your larynx, Dr. Virenie says from behind her biometric scanner. She's a lithe, tan woman with that special small silence inside her, reserved for people who have seen both sides of hardship. Just as I said when you came in. All these tools you use, Virenie. Really, where's the art in it? Virenie rolls her eyes. Another 10 kilos on your body, and you would have broken your neck, Sèvre. Count yourself lucky. Good thing I took a shit before, he grumbles. Darrow's neck would have held up under the strain of 50 more kilos. Mickey brags idly. The tensile raising of his cervical... Really? Virenie says tiredly. Can't you brag later, Mickey? Merely observing my own mastery, Mickey replies, giving me a little wink. He enjoys pushing the gentle Virenie's buttons. Since he's employed her help in his project, they've been spending most waking moments in his laboratory, much to Virenie's chagrin. Ow! Sèvre yelps as she prods the back of his spine. That's my body! Sorry. Pixie, I say. I almost broke my neck, Sèvre complains. Been there, done that. At least you didn't have to get whipped. I'd rather have been whipped, he mutters, wincing as he tries to turn his neck. Be better than this. Not being whipped by Pax, I reply. I saw the video. He wasn't swinging that hard. Have you ever been whipped? Did you see my back? You see my bloody damn eye at the Institute? Jackal had it plucked out with a knife. Didn't see me whining. I had my whole bloody damn body carved open, I say, as the doors hiss open and Mustang enters. Twice! Oh, it always comes back to the slagging carving, Sèvre mutters, wiggling his fingers in the air. I'm so bloody damn special. I had my bones peeled, my DNA spliced. Do they always do this? Virenie asks Mustang. Seems like, Mustang says. Any chance I could bribe you to suture their mouths shut till they learn not to swear so much? Mickey perks up. Well, it's interesting you ask. Sèvre interrupts him. How's the gold holding up? He asks Mustang. You know. Happy he still has a tongue, Mustang says. They're suturing his chest in the infirmary. He has some internal bleeding from blunt trauma, but he'll live. You finally went to see him? I ask. I did. She nods thoughtfully to herself. He was emotional. He wanted me to thank you, Sèvre. He says he knows he didn't deserve it. Damn right he didn't, Sèvre mutters. Sephi says the obsidian will leave him be, I say. The obsidian? Mustang asks, my statement pulling her from her thoughts. All of them? I laugh suddenly. I didn't even think about that. What's that? Sèvre asks. She spoke for the obsidian now, not just the Valkyrie. Wasn't a slip of the tongue. Pan-tribalism wasn't in place before the riot, I say. Must have used it to unite the other war chiefs under her direction. So, she pulled a coup? Sèvre asks. I laugh. Seems like. We'll see if it holds. Still, impressive, Mustang says. They always told us never to let a good crisis go to waste. Mickey shivers. Obsidians playing politics. So, all that out there, Was that strategy, or was that real? Mustang asks Sevro. Dunno, Sevro shrugs. I mean, gotta stop the cycle somewhere. Sucks, but Dad's gone. No sense burning down the world to try and bring him back, you know? Cassius didn't kill Dad because he hated him. They were both soldiers doing what soldiers do. Mustang shakes her head, at a loss for words. So she sets a hand on his shoulder, and he knows how impressed she is. The compliment of silence is as deep a one as she can give, and Sevro favours her with a rare, unironic smile. One that disappears when the door opens and Victra comes in. She's red-eyed and agitated. I need to talk to you, she says to Sevro. Get out, Sevro says when we don't move. Everyone! We wait outside the door as Victra and Sevro speak inside. How long do you think it will take to make the journey? Mustang asks. 49 days, I say, pulling Mickey back from the door where he cups his ear in an attempt to hear the happenings inside. Key is keeping the blues quiet. 49 days is a long time for my brother to make plans. Beyond our hull, the worlds continue to turn. Reds are hunted. And though we've woken the spirit of the low colours and given this rebellion another victory, every day we spend crossing the distance to the core is another day that the Jackal can hunt our friends and the Sovereign can squelch the rebellions that plague her. My uncle's already gone. How many more will die before I return? This won't heal everything, Mustang says. The Obsidian still killed 7 prisoners. My people are wary of this war. The consequences, particularly if Sephi now has united the tribes, that makes her dangerous. And more useful, I say, until she disagrees with you again. This could go wrong at any moment. She straightens as Mickey skitters back and the door to the infirmary opens. Sevro and Victra come out, both wearing smiles. What are you two grinning about? I ask. Just this. Sevro thrusts out a House Jupiter Institute ring. It's loose on his finger. I squint at it, not understanding right away. His own ring is missing, and then I see it awkwardly jammed onto Victra's pinky. She proposed, he says with delight. What? I sputter. Mustang's eyebrows shoot up. Proposed? As in, yeah, boyo, Sevro beams. We are getting hitched. Sevro and Victra marry 7 nights later in a small ceremony in the auxiliary hangar of the Morning Star. When Victra asked me to give her away after they broke the news to us, I couldn't speak. I hugged her then as I hug her now, before taking her arm and walking her through the small line of scrubbed and washed howlers and towering Telemannuses. It's the cleanest I've ever seen Sevro, his unruly mohawk combed to the side as he stands before Mickey. It is custom to have a white give the benediction, but Victra laughed at the idea of tradition and asked Mickey. The violet's face glows now. Too much makeup on the day, but he's a ray of light all the same. From carver to slaver to slave to wedding officiant, he's not had an easy road. But he's lovelier for it. He was delighted when Clown and Screwface asked him to join us for Sevro's bachelor night, and he howled along with us as we kidnapped Sevro from his room the night before and dragged him to the mess hall, where the howlers gathered to drink. The animosity stemming from the riot has not abated entirely, but the wedding brings a sense of nostalgic normalcy. Surrounded by the insanity of war, it's a special hope given, knowing life can go on. Though some sons gripe about the marriage of the red leader to a gold, Victor's done enough to merit respect from the leaders within the sons, and the bravery she showed in storming the Morning Star with Seffi and me around Ilium has bought her their respect. She shed blood for them, with them, so my fleet is quiet, at peace. At least for tonight. I've never seen Severo so happy, nor so nervous as he was the hour before the ceremony when he combed his hair in my washroom. Not that you can do much with a mohawk. Is this insane? It seemed like a good idea yesterday, he asked, staring at himself in the mirror. And it's a good idea today, too, I told him. You're not just saying that. Tell me the truth, man. I feel sick. Before I married Io, I threw up. Bullshit. Got it all over my uncle's boots. A twinge of pain as I remember he's gone. Wasn't that I was afraid of making the wrong decision. I was afraid she was. Afraid of not living up to our expectations. But my uncle told me that it's women who see us better than we see ourselves. That's why you love Victra. That's why you fight with her. And that's why you deserve this. Severo squinted at me in the mirror. Yeah, but your uncle was crazy. Everyone knows that. Even company, then. We're all a little manic. Especially Victra. I mean, she'd have to be to marry you. He grinned. Bloody damn right. And I rumpled his hair, hoping beyond all hope that they can have this little moment of happiness, and maybe more after that. It's the best any of us can hope for, really. Wish Pops was here, though. I think he's laughing his ass off somewhere, that you have to stand on your tiptoes to kiss your bride, I said. Always was a prick. Now Severo shifts from foot to foot as I hand Victra over to him, and he looks up into our eyes. I'm not even there. None of us are. Not to them. The gentleness I see from the raging woman now is all it takes to know how much she loves him. It's not something she'd ever talk about. It's not her way. But the sharp edge she has for everything and everyone is dull tonight. Like she sees Severo as a refuge, a place where she can be safe. I rejoin Mustang as Mickey begins his flowery speech. It's not half so grandiloquent as I might have expected. The way Mustang nods along to the words, I know she must have helped him edit it down. Reading my mind, she leans over. You should have heard the first draft. It was a spectacle. She sniffs me. Are you drunk? She looks back at the flushed howlers and teetering Telemannuses. Are they all drunk? Shh, I say, and hand her a flask. You're too sober. Mickey is finishing the ceremony. A compact that can be broken only by death. I pronounce you Severo and Victra Barker. Julii, Severo corrects quickly. Hers is the Elder House. Victra shakes her head down at him. He said it right. But you're a Julii, he replies, confused. Yesterday I was. Today I'd rather be a Barker. Presuming you don't have a problem with that and I don't have to become proportionally diminutive. It'd be lovely, Severo says, cheeks glowing as Mickey continues and Severo and Victra turn to face their friends. Then I present you to your fellows and the worlds as Severo and Victra of the Martian House, Barker. The ceremony may have been small, but the celebration is anything but. Fleet-spanning, even. If my people know one thing, it is how to survive hardship with celebration. Life's not just a matter of breathing, it's a matter of being. Word of Severo's speech and his hanging spread through the ships, stitching the wounds back together. But this day is the one that matters, the one that reaffirms the joy of life throughout my fleet. Dances are held on the smallest corvettes, on the destroyers and torch ships, and the Morning Star. Flights of rip wings buzz bridges in celebratory formation. Swill and society liquors flow among the milling crowds, which gather in hangars to sing and dance around weapons of war. Even Kavax, so stubborn in his fear of chaos and his prejudice against the Obsidians, dances with Mustang, drunkenly hugging Severo and Victra and clumsily attempting to forget the ballroom dreck of gold dancers and learn those of my people from a full-figured red with a laughing face and a mechanic's grease under her nails. With them is Scyther, the awkward orange who so impressed me a year and a half ago in the garages of the Pax. He only just finished Mustang's special project this morning. Now he's drunk and turning his ungainly body around on the dance floor as Kavax roars approval. Daxo shakes his head at his father's antics while sitting in reserve on the side, as always. I share a drink with him. "It's wine," I say.
"Thank Jove,"
he replies, delicately taking the glass. "Your people keep trying to give me some kind of engine solvent." He scans his datapad warily. "I've got a holiday on security," I say. "This isn't a gold party." He laughs. "Thank Joe for that, then, as well." Finally, he takes a sip from his wine.
"Venusian atolls," he says. "Very nice."
"Broke had good taste." "Your father is a sight," I say, nodding to the dance floor where the big man sways along with two reds.
"He's not the only one," Daxo replied shrewdly, following my eyes to Mustang, who's now being spun about by Severo.
The woman's face is aglow with life, or maybe it's the alcohol. Hair sweaty and plastered on her forehead.
"She loves you, you know," Daxo says. "She's just afraid of losing you. So she holds you far away."
He smiles to himself. "Funny how we are, isn't it?"
"Daxo, why aren't you dancing?" Victor says, striding up to him. "So proper all the time. Up, up!"
She hauls him up and pushes him onto the dance floor, then collapses into his chair.
"My feet. Raided Antonia's closet. Forgot she's got pigeon feet."
I laugh and Clown stumbles up to us, heavily drunk.
"Victor, Darrow, a question. Do you think Pebble is interested in that man?"
he asks me, leaning against one of the tables as he chugs down another glass of wine. His teeth are already purple.
"The tall one?" Victor asks.
Pebble's dancing with a grey captain.
"She seems to fancy him."
"He's terribly handsome," Clown says. "Good teeth, too."
"I suppose you could always cut in," I say.
"Well, I wouldn't want to seem desperate."
"Jove forbid," Victor says.
"I think I'll cut in."
"I think it's a good idea," she says. "But you should bow first, to be polite."
"Oh, then it's settled. I'll go right now."
He pours another glass of wine.
"After another drink."
I take the wine from him and push him on his way. Holiday appears in the doorframe to watch Clown's awkward interruption. He's bowing to Pebble and sweeping back his hand dramatically.
"Oh, hell. He actually did it."
Victor snorts champagne through her nose.
"You should do the same with Mustang. Think she's trying to steal my husband away."
"Husband? That's a weird word."
"It's a weird world."
"Isn't it, though? Wife. Who'd have thought?" I look her up and down.
"On you, it seems to fit."
I put my arm around her.
"It seems to fit perfectly."
She smiles radiantly.
"Sir,"
Holiday says, coming up to us.
"Holiday, come to have a drink."
I glance over at her, smile dying when I see the expression that marks her face.
Something has happened.
What is it?
She motions me away from Victor. It's the jackal, she says quietly, so as not to spoil the mood. He's on the comm for you. Direct link.
What's the delay? I ask.
6 seconds.
On the dance floor, Severo's spinning with Mustang clumsily, laughing because neither knows the dance the reds around them perform. Her hair is dark from sweat on her temples. Her eyes are light with the joy of the moment. None of them feel the sudden dread in me, in the world beyond. I don't want them to. Not tonight.